This is Haunted America with your host, Josh Mantello and Al Shepard on Blog Talk Radio. To discuss today's topics, call 646-716-5896. And now, Haunted America with Josh Mantello and Al Shepard.
Welcome, everyone, to this week's edition of Haunted America Radio. What's up, Josh?
Good. Now, it feels like real late at night, but it's kind of an afternoon, early evening, I think.
It'd be a good evening, I guess, yeah.
Oh, it feels like it's about 2 in the morning for me.
I know how that feels. I've been doing the 60-hour work week here at the local AM station, so definitely after sitting there with unemployed for 3 months and then all of a sudden right into a 60-hour work week, it knocks you on your butt.
Oh, I definitely envy you as you're working, but at the same time, I could say I would hate to jump in head first like that. That could be definitely be tiring. I'm a dreading.
The only good thing is what I do. I mean, audio production and scheduling and all that is basically what I used to do sitting here at my desk in my spare time as a hobby anyway. So now I get paid for it. So it doesn't really seem like work.
Hey, yeah, well, that's the key to it right there, is when you can enjoy it and it doesn't seem like work, but you still get to paid like it's work, then it's just as good. Who knows, maybe someday we can have a Haunted America be a more work that we don't have to work too hard at it.
Yeah, I don't consider it work. Shoot, I let you do all the work, and then I just connect and sit here and talk for 2 hours, so I definitely get paid what I'm worth.
Yep. we both get paid for what we're worth.
And then my Sendell Cards work at home business. This week, the Inc. 500 magazine came out, and we're listed in there as one of the fastest companies in America. So that got me a couple phone calls on that too. So that's starting to take off, and that's my retirement income. So
yeah,
I'm glad that's coming
that.
Along.
Got to think about that. Well, anyway, actually, a strange thing happened. I don't want to say it's a strange thing. It's happened before and never really went anywhere. And I have a feeling it actually generated off of the show. So the show does work on in many facets for, you know, the listeners learning something and you know, us getting exposure. If you remember a few weeks back, we were talking about, you know, the children and investigating. We had a gentleman call in and was asking about animals. Using animals during an investigation, and you know, just from the way he was talking, I could kind of tell he was in the entertainment business. And just this past week, Berkshire Paranormal received a phone call from a network looking to now run a program featuring animals in paranormal investigations.
There
so
you go.
I almost wonder.
That sounds cool.
I almost wonder if one had to do with the other.
Hey, I wouldn't doubt it a bit. The ideas come from the weirdest places, and you can't get much weirder than us. So
that's true. And unfortunately, on our half, my dog. I don't know if I'd want to bring him into someone else's house. He has a hard time behaving around strange people in his own house. And the other animals within our group. You can see them flipping around and leaving presents where they probably shouldn't be more than they would be looking for ghosts. So,
I would think that we almost need to find someone that used to be involved in canine with the police, you know, that knows how to train a dog and start up some type of paranormal training type thing for animals. you know, when they're a puppy, and then you teach them, this is what I want you to look for. And I wouldn't just take any dog into this, but I can definitely see with the dog's heightened senses, if somehow you could get him to recognize what you want him to recognize, which in itself is probably going to be hard because you can't get ghosts to show up on cue like you can a bag of dope or something, but got to figure out some way to train them what you want them to see, or maybe if you can find a place that has high EMF fields, you know, naturally from wiring or something, get the dog to, you know, to recognize the high EMF fields and stuff, and you could almost use it as a living EMF meter, you know.
All right, almost kind of what we do with psychics.
Yeah. But I bet the dogs work cheaper.
Yeah, they definitely work cheaper. I know I can already see the hate mail coming now. I'm not calling psychics as good as dogs either. I'm not saying that. I can already hear Gemini Rose getting ready to call us and with a nasty.
Well, that's okay. She knows me, so she knows I'm just razzing on her anyway. So we love psychics, and we have no problem there. But yeah, but they won't work for Scooby Snacks. But just think, when you bring a dog into your unit, you know, then you just gotta, like, you gotta make sure you've got someone in there named Velma, Daphne, Freddy, and Shaggy, and you're all set. I mean, you're made for TV.
All we gotta do is get a mystery machine, get a minivan, or paint it up, and we'll be good to go.
Yeah, you will.
That and we could get a whole fleet and get an old station wagon, paint it the Ghostbusters way, and we'll be the celebrity ghost hunters of non-celebrity fashion.
Boy, would you get hate mail then from other groups.
You know, it's weird enough. In our field, I know there's some groups who investigate very frequently, and some that don't. My group, you know, we do so much with one particular building. We don't really publicize a lot. We don't advertise our group. We don't solicit investigations like a lot of groups do. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you got a haunted home location that you can go to and test equipment and test your skills at any time, then you don't need to be fishing around for places to go do this when you've got it right there at your fingertips. So,
you know, it's sometimes you know, as investigators, you even have that. You wonder what your first impressions are. When we first got in here and started talking, I was saying how I'm tired. Because we were up investigating all night till we investigated a little after 1 a.m. and didn't get home. It was about an hour away from our home base here. So we got home a little after 2 a.m. So I'm tired today. And it was our first investigation in a couple months. You know, you're walking into a house of somebody you never met. It was farther away, so we didn't have a chance to go out and meet them beforehand, which is my usual practice. You know, it's weird. You're like, oh, what are they going to think of us? And then you're like, oh, what am I going to think of them? And you get almost a weird anxious feeling on both ends, I would imagine. And I could only imagine how much it would be enhanced by showing up in a mystery machine, a bag of snacks and a dog.
Yeah, your credibility might drop there for a while until you prove that the dog actually works something.
But we've already kind of hit on that. These are going to be kind of the two things I think we're going to kind of talk about. For those of you listening last week, I know I mentioned we were going to bring in the Reverend Steve Wilson. He himself is the psychic work and readings and psychic healing, chakra healing, and stuff like that, and he had a class tonight and was unable to get in, but he said he would definitely love to be able to do it next week, so that's a definite. He's going to call in next week, and it'll be a good conversation, and hopefully you didn't hear me talk about psychics being comparable to dogs, because he might not want to talk to me. He And that was unfortunate. Here's another, you know, we were talking about kind of the anxiety leading up to an investigation, kind of on the client tab. If you're a new group and you're out there and this is going to happen to you, and this is really the first time it's happened to me on this level, a lot of times people get in touch with you and they want an investigation or they're asking for help, and you kind of lose touch with them, just as quickly as you get in touch with them. That happens, And this week I had a case set for Wednesday. I was supposed to be driving out to the other half of Massachusetts, actually into Steve's neck of the woods, and that's how we got talking again, and how I was going to come onto the show, and, this family was having a real hard time with the spirit, really bothering them, waking them up at night, touching them, slapping them. They had a six-year-old daughter that was having problems seeing the spirit and bothering her. So it was something we were trying to move as quickly as we can on, being the distance from where we are. And it was tough to get to it. It did take us 3 to 4 weeks before we could really get a date and, the help that we needed, because I don't do spirit removal. That's not my claim. I don't claim to be able to remove spirits or help them move on. And that's what Steve's group does. So I had contacted him because it's right in his hometown. And, I set the date. I said, all right, well, we want to come out Wednesday. I've networked out. I have my people who are going to help me, or just me. We're going to go out as the lone representative of Berkshire Paranormal. And I was really going to kind of pass the case off to him and say, all right, I played the liaison now. This is yours. I can't afford to be driving 3 hours to continue any follow-up work with this family, because this is a type of case where, it's going to involve follow-up work. This isn't documenting and debunking. But they never sent me their address. This is, I wasn't about to drive 3 miles or 3 hours without an address. And they, the Sunday, I was like, crap, I don't have their address. I emailed them and said, all right, we're still on for Wednesday. You just let me know where you live so I can punch it into my GPS. I don't get anything back. I email them again on Monday. I need your address so I know where I'm going. And they don't get back to me. Now it's Wednesday morning. I'm still planning on going. I've got babysitters set up. We're ready to go. I'm calling the phone numbers they gave me repeatedly, nothing. And then, it got to the point where I said I was supposed to meet you at 7 o'clock. It's now 4. That's the 3 hours. I'm not going to start driving, get halfway across the state and, still not know where I'm going and still haven't heard from you. So, it happened. I'm sure it happens to other groups. One of the more popular and famous groups out here in the Massachusetts area, I had talked to, and they're on a team of 20, 30 people. They're a very large team, and, they have cases every weekend, and they say once you do that, it happens to them on a regular basis. I guess if anybody out there is starting a group or is into this investigating, don't let that, really get you down. It happens. I hope there's nothing wrong. For all I know, they could add an illness in the family. And, I hope, there's nothing wrong in that end. Or maybe sometimes people, it sounds like a really good idea to them to get these investigators and have an investigation or removal happen. But when push comes to shove, they might get a little scared and shy away. And, instead of just saying, hey, we no longer, require your services, and they might not want to do that. They just completely kind of drop off the face of the earth on, which these ones did. They still haven't emailed me back or returned my voicemails, and it's, been 4 days after when I was supposed to be there. I was expecting an email, where were you? You never showed up. It happens. It happens to all of us. But then I turned around 4 days later and drove out into New York last night for the investigation, and had a pretty good time. Nice people out there, little house. This gentleman does a lot of audio recording. He does interviews for rock bands and stuff, and has voice recorders, and he was having some activity in his house, so he started recording a lot of his own EVPs that he was sending me. We didn't have Well, I haven't been through my EVPs. I'm still hoping they, I have a few on there. If he can capture them all the time, I'm praying that I obviously was able to catch them all the time also. And, you know, we'll see. Last night I will give one kind of cool ghost story. You know, because they're always fun to listen to. And, you know, these people had no fears of sitting in the dark in their house. You know, they're, so we literally shut off every light in this house. They are in the middle of nowhere in New York. You know, no cell service, nothing. You know, it's, you know, out in the boondocks. And so, you know, with all the lights off, nice pitch dark house. And they just sat in their kitchen in the pitch dark and kind of watched as we worked. And, you know, every hour or so, we would switch locations. We'd go from one bedroom and then stop for a while, take a break, go to another bedroom, take a break. And usually on the breaks, I would get a drink of water, sit down, type some notes into the computer about how the investigation's going, confer with each other over different stuff, and then, you know, move on. I had two other investigators with me, and I just came down from the upstairs, and for those of you who are in the Northeast, you know that we're actually finally getting some hot summer weather for once, and the house didn't have air conditioning, so I said, I was just up there and sweating, why don't you guys go sweat upstairs, and I'm going to just kind of hang out down here with them, and a lot of stuff that happens for them. It's just stuff that, you know, while they're sitting in their house, they'll see a shadow move, or they'll hear a voice, or they'll, you know, hear things. Nothing that, you know, petrifies them, but, you know, enough to kind of get them uneasy and have them call us. And I'm just sitting, chatting with them, and pretty cool. It's out of nowhere, I could just hear behind me, I'm kind of in a doorway between their dining room and their living room, and out of nowhere, just over my back of my right shoulder on the into the living room, I could just hear this little girl. It sounded like a young woman, maybe not a little girl, teenage, you know, preteen girl, almost like a laugh sound. You know, it was really weird. And I just look right over my shoulder, and then the two of them are looking at me, and I said, "Wow, there she is!" Like, they hear that voice all the time. That's the girl that's in our house. And I said, "Wow, I heard that too." And it was one of those investigations where we weren't really expecting a whole lot to happen, because this was something that's going to be like EVP based. Every investigation has its different facets. You know, some houses are more EMF based. Some houses have more EVP activity. Some houses have more apparition activity. Apparently, this house has a lot of EVP stuff. So I was just expecting, you know, maybe not a whole lot to happen, and maybe hear a few things and, you know, end up capturing a bunch of EVPs, and just kind of sitting there out of nowhere and having, you know, some girl that's not in the house. So we had three investigators on the team. They're all men, and the one woman in the house was sitting in front of me, and this was definitely a younger woman's voice, you know, right over my shoulder. So that was pretty interesting. It made the 5 hours we were in there in the dark, walking around, sweating, worthwhile. You know, it's funny, 5 hours of work and, you know, something that takes 1 minute, you know, just, you know, 1 minute little voice over your shoulder, and it'll make 5 hours worth its while.
Yep, exactly. I mean, that's what you're looking for, and that gives you the momentum to move on to the next case as well, you know, knowing that you're on the right track.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, we had a couple other kind of little minuscule things happen. Nothing dramatic or overly exciting, but, you know, what are you going to do about it? Investigating is like that, you know. I've done plenty of investigations where I show up and absolutely nothing happens, and, you know, you go home and you don't even capture any EVPs, and, you know, what are you going to do about it? It's just the way life goes.
Yeah, I mean, you can't make ghosts appear on cue, and that's the problem is... just because you're there, you don't catch anything, you can't say, okay, your house is not haunted. All you can say is it wasn't haunted that particular 5 hours I was there, you know? I mean, when you're living in the house 24/7, you're bound to see things, hear things that other little dull and they're only stopping by, you know.
Oh, according to this house, they have things happen to them every night. So, yeah, but hey, so did I. You know, I can't complain. You know, we're in the business of just waiting for that one little thing to happen.
Hey, as long as we're on ghost stories, I got one I've been meaning to tell you too.
All right.
Maybe you've heard it. It's this guy named Mark. He was walking home and decided to take a shortcut through a cemetery. And as he was walking through the cemetery, he heard someone calling out his name, going, Mark! 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 So he's looking around him, and he don't see anybody, and he keeps walking a little farther, and it's getting louder. It's calling him, Mark! Mark! And he walks a little more, and he's really getting scared now. He's really walking faster, and he still hears this, Mark! Mark! Finally, he's on a dead run. He gets right up to the edge of the cemetery, and he figured out what it was. Have you heard this story before?
No, I can't say I have.
Yeah, he got to the end of the cemetery, and he figured out it was a dog with a hair lip.
And I thought you were going to have a real ghost story.
Come on, you know me better than that.
You know, I figured, too, you know, as we got into the story, I wasn't going to have a real ghost story for me. He's going to have some sort of joke.
I know, I got to stop this. I just have too much fun on this show. That's all there is to it.
Oh, yeah, we got to have fun, and, you know. You got to entertain somehow, right?
Exactly. Anything new on what you're working on up north there? Is that
I think, or what? It's going to happen. The dates are set. The only thing I haven't signed the contract yet to make it official. And once I sign the contract with the company, the tickets will go on sale. But I will say that I think I finally settled on a price. That'll make it well worth its while, and I'll go through everything right now. You know, it's been a half an hour. It's time for a commercial break. So, and again, one thing I really want to talk about tonight over 2 hours is when you're a new investigator. So, one thing a lot of people always approach me about is, you know, can I join your team? And, you know, we're a small team. We don't do a lot of investigation, so we don't take in everybody who asks. But, you know, everybody wants to become a ghost hunter now. Everybody wants to be a paranormal investigator and get in on this. And it's tough. And then, I end up telling them, you know, I'm sorry, we're not taking on any new members right now. We're a pretty close-knit group. And, you know, like, well, what can we do? What can we do to do what you do? How did you start? What, you know, and, you know, because there is a lot to learn. I suppose anybody can just grab a flashlight and a digital recorder and go out and ghost hunt for their own satisfaction. But I think once you start really calling yourself a paranormal investigative group that performs services for clients in the public, you kind of have to start holding yourself to a higher standard, and people might want to know, well, you know, when you approach a client, they might want to know, you know, how do you know what you're looking for? Where did you learn how to be a ghost hunter? I'm going somewhere with it. It's about the conference. Maybe I'll get to sell a few tickets.
I know where you're going. Don't worry.
You know, the best way is, you know, to join a group and ask around. Some groups, you know, take new members often, some don't. Some make you a part-time investigator or an associate investigator, investigator in training, whatever they want to call it. And get in and learn from them. And the key part of that is getting in with a group that is going to work well with you. My group works in a very, you know, methodical kind of scientific basis. You know, we document a lot, we save everything, we don't usually work with psychics or pendulums or Ouija boards. But if you're that type of person who does, you wouldn't work well with us. You wouldn't learn a lot. You would feel out of place and uncomfortable, and it wouldn't work well. So, you know, do your homework for one. When you're trying to find a group and get in with somebody, go to their web page, take a look, and you know, make sure you're gonna fit in with them, and they're gonna fit in with you, so that everybody's gonna work well together. The other thing is that you can't find a group, and you just want to start doing this on your own. And there's nothing that says you can't be a paranormal investigator. You don't need to be a group. You don't need to be a society. I mean, there's always paranormal groups, paranormal societies, paranormal teams. You can be a lone paranormal investigator. There's nothing that says you can't. And you want to start learning. Well, this is one. Go to the internet. A lot of these groups post writing, blogs, whatever, about their experiences. When I first started, I used to go to the Atlantic Paranormal Society page, you know, and they have articles that they've written about shadow people and EMF and EVP, and read those. Take out of it what you can. You know, it may not be something you agree with, but now you know what other people are thinking. Adopt it to what you think is the best way you're going to work. Go to these other groups' pages. See what they use for equipment. See if they show you how to use that equipment. Secondly, go out and buy a lot of books. Whether you even read them all. I bought a lot of books. I didn't read them all. You know, I thumbed through most of them and got to the parts that were going to interest me. There might be a book about how to hunt ghosts. Now, you don't really care about the second half, but the first half tells you all about EVP and EMF, and that's what you want to be big on. Well, then just read the part that's about EMF and EVP and maybe thumb through the other parts. You know, learn what you can where you can. There's plenty of stuff out there now. And then from there, you can go, these things are happening more and more around the area. They're teaching methods, conferences, lectures, ghost events. These are the times where you can actually get to these places, and one, a lot of times they're held at haunted locations. We do them at the Houghton Mansion. We are now doing this one up at the Equinox. There's higher priced ones you can do at the Stanley Hotel, the Queen Mary, you know, some of the most haunted places in America, some of the most famous haunted places in America. You know, they hold events. Now, I'll use for an example, like the one I'm planning now up in the Equinox. You're going to get, on a Friday night, this is the tentative schedule, which is obviously subject to change, but you start out with just the history of the building. So, and we try to model the way the conference will run so that you actually get a chance to investigate. Each night you're going to get 4 hours to actually investigate. Sure, you're going to be in a crowd with a lot of other people. It's not true investigating, but you're in the dark. You're getting used to your equipment and learning how to use it. You know, any evidence you might find isn't going to be true, really credible because you are in such a large group, but it's something. And so from there, you know, you go and the first thing you're going to get when you're there is you're going to learn the history of the building. When you start a regular paranormal investigation, the first thing you're going to do is you want to find out the history of the place to, you know, kind of find what you're looking for. History and ghost hunting go hand in hand. You know, to understand what you're looking for now, a ghost is something that lived in the past, a spirit from history. So you kind of have to have a kind of an amateur interest in history to even really enjoy it a lot. And so we give you a little history lesson about the location, and this place is the Equinox, which is rich in history with the Abraham Lincoln's family. They used to stay there before President Lincoln was shot. Second, you're going to get, I'm going to give a presentation called Ghost Hunting 101. That's as simple as it is, Ghost Hunting 101. So if you are a new investigator who's never investigated before and you want to learn how, here's an hour class, Ghost Hunting 101, where we cover EMF, EVP, temperature readings, paranormal photography, condensed right down in a simple, you can do it like this in an hour. And then you go off and investigate. The second day, we start getting into the more conference type of stuff. I know I mentioned him last week. I've called Michael Baker up. He is more than willing to come out. He's going to come out and do a workshop, an hour and a half workshop on EVP. So he's going to teach you how to record EVPs, how to capture them, and he's also going to give out some free software as part of your ticket and part of the mission. You're going to get free software for editing and working with your EVPs. Then he's going to go into some of his more technical, high-tech EVP type stuff. Ron Cole is going to give a lecture on how he hunt ghosts, and then, you know, and there's a dinner involved, and we're going to watch 14 Degrees, which is a great movie if you're going to learn how to hunt ghosts, because it covers the entire history of paranormal investigating, and then you get a whole other night of how to investigate. So, if you want to become an investigator, those are the things you might want to start thinking about. Try and join the group that's going to fit you well. Read some books. Research on the internet. And look for these conferences. Groups, you know, need to buy equipment. Groups, you know, need to buy new cameras. You know, technology is changing every 6 months. So, you know, when they all went out and bought mini DV recorders, 6 months later, those are out of date, and now it's all hard drive recorders, and now it's thumb drive recorders. You know, technology is always changing on them, so they need to find a way to keep buying up the new technology. These groups are out there, they're putting on fundraisers. So sometimes these fundraisers are lectures or presentations where you charge 10, 15, 20, 30 bucks to go in. They'll talk to you about how to hunt ghosts or tell you some ghost stories. And you learn, and then now you're getting in with them at the same time. You can introduce yourself. Hey, you know, that was a great presentation. You sound really cool. I love what you're doing. Is there any way I can watch some night, participate with you? And you're getting your foot in the door.
I can't wait. This is going to be exciting for me. This will be my first such conference or whatever you want to call it. So
right.
I can't wait to go there and see what I can learn and who I can meet.
Well, you've met just about everybody over the phone and over the show once already. The only person I haven't met is Joe Citro, and he is the Haunted Vermont guy. He's written 7 books on monsters and hauntings and ghosts in Vermont, along with, I think, 6 novels that are ghost-based novels. And who better? He's written about the equinox. He knows the story quite well, and he's going to come out and lecture and talk about, you know, the ghosts of the building, along with some of the other more popular hauntings and monsters of Vermont, such as, I would imagine you'd cover like Champ of Lake Champlain, or the Bennington Triangle, or who knows, up in northern Vermont. Those ghost stories don't trickle down to me down here in Massachusetts that often. So it'll be a great time. But anyways, before I got off on this little tangent, the prices, as of right now, and this is probably right where I am going to keep them, to do Friday night only, you're going to get the history of the building, a Ghost Hunting 101 lecture, and 4 hours. 4 hours in the dark in a haunted building haunted by Abraham Lincoln and his family. We're going to charge $60 for that. Now, yeah, if you just go Friday night. If you want to go just on Saturday, which is the bigger of the 2 days, we're going to have a registration kind of mingling period where you can talk with everybody. We're going to sit down and have a discussion. For those who will do the entire weekend, we're going to have a kind of sit-down discussion of any experiences, people who may be captured as EVPs or pictures. We're going to have a chance for them to present it and get critiqued by myself, Ron Cole, Mike Baker. You know, all the panel of experts I've gathered in here, I'll give you a chance to put them for the attendees to show their evidence to these people and get a critique, you know, by some of the experts in the Northeast. Then throughout the day, you are going to have I'm going to give my spirit photography presentation. Mike Baker's going to do his EVP presentation. Joe Citro's going to do his talk on haunted Vermont. Ron Kolick is going to give his presentation about, you know, all the hauntings he's been to and how he investigates. I'm not too sure how many people from his group he's going to bring, but he usually travels with a few other members of the Ghost Project, and they all have their own skills and abilities and we might even work in another workshop on dowsing or psychicism or something like that with Maureen if she's able to come out. You get a free dinner. Well, not a free dinner, you're paying for it, but a dinner is included. This is a five-diamond resort. I can guarantee you it'll be an incredible dinner as part of your package, and we're going to come back. We're going to get another speaker. You're going to screen 14 Degrees with the director and creator of the documentary, and then investigate for 4 more hours in the dark until 2 a.m. Saturday only, we're going to ask for $100 for Saturday only. If you do the entire weekend, pay for the entire weekend at once, we're going to knock the price right down to $125. If you want to attend the entire weekend, you buy a weekend pass, and, you know, it knocks $35 $35 right off the combination of the two if you were to buy them separately.
Okay, first question before I forget, what is the dates again so people can start putting it on their calendar?
All right, it's November 6th and 7th, Manchester, Vermont, at the Equinox Resort and Hotel. Again, this is, it's fall in Vermont, can't ask for much more there, it's a beautiful getaway, Five Diamond Resort, haunted by the Lincoln family. You know, together with some of the most well-known ghost hunters and paranormal investigators in New England, and you're going to be off investigating. Everybody, at that point, everybody's going to have a book out. I'm going to have a book out. Joe Citro has a new book coming out. Ron Kolick has a book coming out.
I don't have
out.
A book.
Oh, get right, and you can see if you can get one by November. Everybody's going to be selling and doing book signings. They're great times. We do them at the Houghton Mansion. Ask anybody who's been to them. They're great times. But if you're interested and you kind of want to get on a mailing list or want to hear about it as soon as tickets go on sale, they'll be on sale through PayPal, through me. If you don't want to stay at the resort and you just want to go for the weekend, stay at a cheaper hotel somewhere or just travel back and forth if you're in the Vermont area, you can buy admission-only tickets through me via PayPal. You can email me at jmantelloevents@gmail.com, and I'll put you right on the mailing list as soon as they go on sale. I can get them out to you, jmantelloevents@gmail.com. Or as when it comes out, the resort is going to offer a room package where you can stay at the resort and get a discounted price on their rooms, and it'll include your admission to the entire weekend's event, and those you can have to book through the resort. Either way, if you book through the resort, you still get the entire weekend and the dinner, and you book through me, you don't get the night. Obviously, it's going to be cheaper, and you have to find your own, either have to travel back and forth or find another place to stay. Manchester, for those that are from the area, Manchester is, a big outlet community. There's tons of hotels and to stay in that area, so we'll leave it up to that.
Yeah.
I would imagine within the next week and a half, I should have them on sale. We're just waiting for the final sit down with the general manager of the resort to sign the contract saying, you pay us this much, we'll pay you that much, and you do this and we'll do that, and it will be officially in stone and ready to roll.
All right. I mean, I'm surprised because I was expecting probably twice that amount. I've seen conferences in a lot less historic locations with lesser investigators for twice the amount of money. So one question I have is, I know that's like a four-story building or something, and it's huge. Seems like it goes on forever. I mean, square footage, you got to be close to equal to the Stanley Hotel when you put all the different wings and add them all up and everything else. And I know other people are staying there, so is the investigating on a certain floor restricted, or how's that going to work?
Basically, from what I've been told as to how it's going to work is that you're going to... They're going to completely block off an entire section. I guess they have, the resort has different ends. They have their main building, but then they have a couple annexes that people can stay in. From the way it sounds, is they're going to completely block off entire sections and leave those rooms completely unopened and unbooked. So in other words, you're not going to be able to go in and, at any point and say, I want to book a room in that haunted section. So when you go and you get a room, you're going to get a room in another part of the building. So the rooms that are going to be in the haunted areas are going to be open for investigating.
Okay.
And the only way...
So I take it those, that is the most high, the most active section is where they're going to block off, I hope.
Right. The most active sections are going to be the sections that nobody's going to stay in. Even the attendees aren't going to stay unless there's unless we sell a lot more than we anticipate, then they might have to book some of those rooms. But other than that, it's going to be solely... The rooms in the haunted parts of the inn are going to be empty.
And I would hope if they did overbook or something, that they would give the paid attendees the first chance to move into those haunted rooms from the unhaunted ones that they're in and free them up for the normal people, I would hope. But
right,
and
that's the plan, is that... You know, the people coming for the conference and for the ghost hunt are going to be the people staying in the haunted areas. The people who are coming up to do they do stuff with Land Rover and, falconry training. The people who are going up to do the fall leaf peeping aren't going to be in those areas. The people who are coming up for the leaf peeping in November are going to be out in a whole other area.
Okay. I would hope when it comes time to... advertising, they're going to stick something on the local radio stations and stuff, so I'll look forward to seeing that come across the desk down there where I'm working, so that'll be cool.
I definitely plan on putting some heavy advertising into the Bennington area, because Bennington is kind of the bigger community in that neck of the woods right near Manchester, so Bennington-Brattleboro is definitely where I plan on putting in some serious advertising.
Yeah, I would say WEQX, WBTN, and then some of the ones over in the Albany area, The Edge and 103.1, and I can't even remember them all now, but yeah, I would think. Also, I don't know if they have any local ads on WGY during the Coast to Coast with George and Ori show overnight, but that might be a good place to see if you can get some ads in, too.
Oh, I can't tell you. Someone who did used to listen to that on a regular basis. It's almost always, and you're in the radio business, you know, radio stations are required to do so many PSAs, public service announcements, a day, and they always seem to get stuck in the early morning hours because they want to save the real ad time for the people that pay.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what we do down there. Is the paid advertisers we run during the day, and then at nights when we throw in all the PSAs. But
yeah.
they're not against putting regular ads in there. They don't. Most PSAs, they're not required to run a certain amount of times. They only throw them in there because they don't want to waste their regular ads. But if you're willing to pay money to put your ad in at 2 a.m., then I would think they'd be more than happy to put it in there for you, and that's the audience you're looking for. So, all right. I thought I had another question for you on this, but you had something else that you were playing with at the event coming up at the mansion or something. Anything on that yet, or?
We are working on it.
Secret.
Secret, it's not. It basically, we're looking Halloween night at the Houghton Mansion with somebody from Most Haunted. I forgot his name. It basically.
You mean Richard?
No, not Richard.
The one that does the show with Ron.
No, we're doing this with Ron, but it's not with Richard. Richard's gonna be gone by then. Richard's with him now. It was somebody else
who else?
Back over. I don't remember.
You got the skeptic there, Kiernan or whatever his name is.
Yeah, honestly,
O'Keefe.
I forgot his name, but a new something.
You watch that show a lot, huh?
In my entire lifetime, I've probably watched maybe 30 minutes of it, and never more than 5 at one time. So, I tried sitting down. I can't go out and bash radio. I can go out and say bad things about any other shows. So, you don't have anything nice
to
say, don't say it at all.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting all these people because, like you said, I've talked to some of them on the radio, but I've never met them face-to-face and really gave them a chance to ask me for my autograph. So,
right, that's right. That's right. We're all quasi-celebrities now.
Oh, man. Oh, well.
That's the way I like to think of it. When they do these big events, I feel like a celebrity for a weekend, and then it goes away on Monday.
Yeah, your head puffs up and then can't live with you, so...
Oh, yeah, I mean, and, you know, we'll have to see. We'll probably do some sort of roaming interviews for Haunted America over the course of the weekend and get them out over the air. And who knows, we'll be dragging...
Definitely.
We'll be dragging our feet come that Sunday afternoon, that's for sure, because we're going to be...
Anybody's got a video camera, we can shoot some footage for Haunted America Radio Television, too, you know, and
right.
We'll get that up on there. And... Also, what else was I just going to say? I don't know. I forgot now. Oh, well. I'll think
about
it once you start talking again.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I'll give you a discount on cards if you want to send out thank you cards after the event. That's what it was.
There we go. That's right. We'll send everybody a thank you card for attending. That's a good idea. Send everybody a nice thank you card for attending in a
mm-hmm.
And a business card to say you can sign up to.
But yeah, we'll figure it out.
But man, how do we start on this? Oh my lord, this has been like
20 minutes. Yeah, well, we were talking about the Equinox event, and then you were talking about how people get started in ghost hunting.
Right, and that's what I kind of wanted to talk about tonight. So I didn't stray too far off the subject. Because those are the type of things that when you want to get into ghost hunting, you're going to learn. There's going to be years and years and years of experience there, especially from Ron. He's like 90. So there's going to be years of experience from these investigators there that you can pick their brains off of.
Well, that's the beauty about having Ron in an event, because it uses all your senses. You even get the smell of a dead body.
You know, he asked me, too. I talked to him this week. He goes, "When is your show? I got to start listening a little bit more. This is going to be the one when he starts listening." And I'm sure I'll get a phone call. I'll get another call at 9:02 when we get off the air. And he goes, "What are you doing talking about me on a show like that?"
We love you, Ron.
All right. But, anyways, you're getting into ghost hunting. Go to these conferences and learn as much as you can. I held them just so I could get all these people in there so I could learn from them. I learned almost 75% of what I learned in the paranormal field, you know, from being at these different lectures and conferences and ghost events that we held at the Houghton Mansion. They're great ways, and then the rest of it was finagling a lot of the people we had attending out of their books so I could read them, and then I read the books and learned more. But one thing, and I don't know if I have this up on BerkshireParanormal.com, or if you might be able to just find it on my MySpace. If you search Josh Mantello on MySpace, I should come up. I think it's MySpace.com, /Berkshire_ghost hunter, or just Berkshire Ghost Hunter. I don't remember the URL. It's on there in the blog on that, and I have it posted on a couple other blogs sporadically across the internet. But it's doing quality investigation and not quantity of investigating. And I've noticed this so much with new investigators and new groups when they're coming out to just investigate as much as they can, as often as they can, whenever they can. And they don't really seem to get far with any of it. And what are they really learning from any of these investigations that they're doing? You see some of them, they're young kids, 18, 19, 20 years old. They're looking for something to do on the weekend, so they go out and buy a digital thermometer and a voice recorder and a couple cameras, and we're going to call ourselves the blank blank ghost society, and here we go, let's go hunt ghosts, and then they start, going to their cousin's house that's haunted, and then their other friend's house that's haunted, and then they start calling. I get, at least two or three of these calls a week, via the Houghton Mansion, hey, we're a new group, can we come investigate? Hey, we're a group, we want to come investigate your house, can we come investigate, they're soliciting their investigations. I'm not a big fan of that. But, and where did they learn? What have they learned? And, what's qualifying them to really just start one day after going to Radio Shack, Best Buy, and wherever else they got their electronics from, and buying up all this stuff, and then that Saturday night, okay, we watched a few episodes of Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures and Most Haunted. We know what we're doing, and we're going to come into your house and claim to be able to remove all the spirits in it and tell you whether it's, your dead Uncle Fred or, whatever demon from the second layer of hell, How did you learn that? Where did you learn that from? There's no quality in that investigation. These people are solely going out there for the quantity of investigations. They usually will throw up some, web page that is, done for free, and, some free-based web page, take some pictures of themselves looking tough, holding a meter, throw it on the page. And now they said, now we got to fill, for us to get investigations, we have to fill this page with as many investigations as we can. So we're just going to run around town, whether it's a cemetery or a scary-looking building, we're going to walk around to take its picture and measure recordings, and we're going to say that was an investigation. So now they got 30 investigations on their page where all they did was go to the cemetery at night, walk around, and said they investigated.
Yeah, well, it's all about the prestige, The more that they do, the busier they look, the more important they look, so then maybe they'll be next in line for a TV show.
And unfortunately, I've seen that too. I've been doing this for many years. Not that many, but I've been doing this for about 7 years, and I've been called about TV shows. I've done a camera test, but you know what? I written off on the fact that I'm ever going to be on TV, but I didn't start. You don't start to do this to be on TV. Yes, it looks cool. Yeah, I'd love to be on a show and do this for a living, but that's not the purpose of it. The purpose of it is you're providing a service, and I think a lot of people in the paranormal field right now that are starting a lot of these new groups are getting away from the fact that as a paranormal investigator, ghost hunter, whatever you want to call it, your sole purpose should be to perform a service to the community who needs help. Some people are taking more of the self-serving aspect to it and saying, if I do this and investigate a lot, I'm going to get a TV show. And I've heard horror stories. I've had people call me and say, hey, I had this group come to my house. I went to their webpage, they had some investigations on it. They were the first ones I called, so... so they came to my house, and this is a true story, and he said they left my house in ruins. They told me they stirred up so much activity in my house that when they left, that it was twice as bad as it was before the group ever came in. And now they've lost contact with them, and they're not coming back, and there's nothing to do. They had to call in somebody out to now remedy the problem that this amateur group had come in and caused. That, they were new, they've only been around for a few months, and we're just going to rush right in and pretend to be cats.
Yeah, and all they did was stir everything up and make it worse. I want to say hello to our listener at the 862 area code that's on the phone. If you want to talk, raise a little hand up so I know that you want to talk. If not, I'll assume you're just listening. And I'll say also at the same time hello to guest 3291 in the chat room there. I don't know. Huh?
I was going to say, I'm sorry if for those of you who might be chatting away or trying to type. I know my name is in the chat room, but it is hotter than Hades in my living room at my computer right now. So I've been actually bouncing between my air-conditioned bedroom, and right now I'm actually, it just rained outside, and it's nice and cool outside. So if you're trying to talk to me in a text or in the chat room, it's in vain, and I'm not there. I'm just there in spirit.
That's all right. They come and they go. So they tend to when they gang up in the chat room, they tend to go off on their own on little conversations and tangents. And so I think we could stop talking and they wouldn't even notice.
They might not. We should try that one day when we're on one of those subjects where I don't think anybody's listening. Just give them a minute of dead air. See what happens.
Yeah, just watch the chat room and see if anybody notices.
they still go. I know that happened last week. Last week I wasn't by the computer a lot either. And I'm going back, and when I got back onto my computer, and I'm looking through the chat log, and I'm just thinking, what the hell is all this? we weren't even
oh, yeah.
Talking about that.
Oh, yeah, they were on last week. They were off on pets and this and that, and I don't know what else. It had nothing to do with what we were talking about. But that's the beauty of doing a show like this. We get to associate and mingle with the normal people.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I spent my entire night last night talking to people who weren't in the same room. Well, talking to people that I couldn't see.
Oh! I got to tell you a story.
Oh, okay.
And no, this one isn't a joke.
This is a real story.
Yes, and maybe you can help me with this, point me in the right direction. She said she might be listening to the show today, and so I said I'd bring this up to you, see if you know where to point her. The conversation started with her recommending a guy named Joe Durbin. If you're familiar with him, he does articles down there at the Berkshire paper or something, and he had a blog on all the hauntings of Berkshire and everything.
Oh, Joe Dorwin.
Dorwin, okay. Yep. She recommended him. We might want to get him on here as a guest sometime or something.
He wrote for the Advocate Weekly, like a free newspaper, the Berkshire County free newspaper. It's pressed out of the school, but yeah. I can't say I know him real well, but we've communicated, you know, we're both from the Berkshires and we both do ghost stuff, so obviously our paths have crossed on a couple occasions.
She does a radio show up there at where I work, and she come out and she says, you know, I can tell you this. I can't tell anyone else because I'll get ridiculed. But she says, I know you'll understand. So she lets her dogs out at night and shuts and locks the doors. And then she goes to sleep and then winds up a few hours later, the dogs are back in the house. And she couldn't figure it out. She says, I thought maybe I was getting up in my sleep and letting them in or something. She says, but then it happened the other day in the daytime in front of a witness. She says, I let them out, I shut the doors, and a little while later they're back inside again, and none of us went near the door. So on her radio show, she had a pet psychic. And the pet psychic interviewed her dog, and her dog said that the dogs will go up on the porch to the front door, turn themselves into balls of energy, slide under the door, and rematerialize inside the house. And that's how they keep getting through the locked doors. So she wasn't sure if we knew anybody for her to talk to about this, or
or anything else. And I said, well, that's the problem with investigating. I said, most people go into a house and they spend the whole time they're in there yelling, are you here, show me a sign, instead of asking relevant questions. I said, get the pet psychic back, interview your dog again, and get step-by-step instructions on how the heck you do this, and let's find out how to turn ourselves into balls of energy.
Oh man. I really don't know where to go with that one. The pet turning itself into a ball of energy and going through the door. I guess that's the most obvious explanation. I know a dog. They let him out all the time. This dog's leashed. I don't know if these dogs are leashed or not, but he knows how to open a door. It's a levered door. It doesn't have a doorknob. It's one of the levers that you push down on. This dog knows when he wants to come in. He gets up. He starts pawing at the lever. It pushes it down. He walks in. Now, if he wasn't leashed, he'd be able to walk right back in the damn house.
Well, this is two doors. This is an outer door and an inner door, both being shut. So it's the screen door and the regular wooden door.
I'm sorry. I don't want to disrespect anybody, but I'm just having a...
Come on, I'm looking to you for a logical answer here.
Well, I'm just having a hard time grasping the... her dogs are turning into balls of energy and going through the door. You know, if this happens on a nightly basis, I don't know if she has a camcorder.
It's pretty close to nightly, she said, yeah.
If she has a camcorder, set it up at the door and record it. You know, that's the only way I can really, this is how I would investigate. You know, if I go to a house and somebody tells me, you know, every night this moves, I'm going to put a camera on it and wait for it to move. Simple as that. I would say I don't really think you need a paranormal investigation to take place, because it would be kind of a boring investigation. We would simply... Well, it would be boring if nothing happens, because we're just going to sit in the front room and wait for a dog to materialize, almost like the Star Trek, you know, the material.
Yeah, exactly. It's like beam me up,
beaming through the door,
like,
yeah. He's materialized, you know, rematerialized on the other side of the door. And I would just set a camera up and record it. That's really, if she had Sony, you had the Sony with night shot, just you can run it just like any other camera with the lights off, and it'll record. They usually record for about 2 hours, unless you got a handy cam with a hard disk drive. Sometimes you can record up to 6 hours on those before anything happens. And
now, can you hook them up direct to a TV and just leave it on but not record and just monitor?
Yep, you can. We do that. I have one Hi8 that you know, we had gotten, and it stopped working properly on the... with the tape, but we just plug it in with an AV out and run it into a TV with a VCR instead. You can do that just as easily.
There you go. Yep. Okay.
But yeah, that's what I would do.
I didn't mean to interrupt your conversation, but...
Oh, that's great. I needed that. Wow, a dog just... If I could teach my dog that trick. Now, imagine that. Now, this is what we were talking about earlier. We're jumping all over, jumping from topic to topic. You know, we were talking about, you know, animals and paranormal investigating and using them. Now, imagine if we could use those dogs on a ghost hunt. Not only could they tell us where they were, they could actually energize themselves, disappear, and go into the ghostly world and come back and tell us every detail of what's actually happening with the spirits and what they look like.
Well, they might not have to, because I just had a thought now that dogs can sense things that we can't. If they can see and hear the ghosts that we can't, then maybe all you need is a regular dog and then a pet psychic to talk to the dog, almost as an interpreter to tell you what the dog is seeing and feeling and where they're seeing it and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just a dog. Yeah, I'm gonna be thinking of that all night long.
I have business cards for the pet psychic at the station too. I can get you one if you want one.
That's okay. My dog's okay. He doesn't need any psychicism.
I'm thinking for investigative purposes, not for your dog's psychiatric health.
I'm okay with that. I think before I start employing a psychic, when I do start employing psychics, I'd probably start with one that talks to people before I start doing the one that talks to animals.
Okay, I'm just offering you options.
Oh, yeah. I would love to see that. That's something. Now, imagine if she does. She goes, you know, you tell her, she's listening right now, and she takes a video camera, and she sets it up at her house, at her door, and the first night, the door is locked, the dogs are outside, and next thing you see on that video is poof, you know, that weird little tingling noise you get on Star Trek 2, you know, boom, and the dog appears in front of the door. That's worth millions.
That would be probably the greatest paranormal footage that ever existed up to date.
I don't know.
So anyways, we it's been an hour. Maybe we need to take a 1 minute break here to clear our head and regain our train of thought and figure out where we're going with this conversation.
Basically, we're having we have two topics that we're just switching from one to the other every 15 minutes.
Well, yeah, we're like the ADD of paranormal radio. You know,
I don't know, is it ADD or more of a bipolar thing? I don't know.
Listen to Josh and Al, bipolar radio. Oh boy. Here, I'm gonna play a shameless self promotional commercial here to take a break to give us a minute.
Haunted America Radio is brought to you by
Send Out Cards. One of the most unique, exciting, and fastest growing home-based business opportunities available today. It all revolves around a unique service. Send Out Cards offers an online system that allows you to log in from anywhere in the world, type a message, and click the send button. The company then actually prints a physical greeting card in your handwriting with your signature and mails it to your recipient in the mailbox. All for under $1. You can even add a gift and have it sent along with your greeting card. It's easy, it's quick, and it's something anybody can do. You can become a customer of Send Out Cards, but you may also select our entrepreneur option, which gives you the ability to participate in our compensation plan and create a residual side income stream for yourself and your family, all while working part-time around your already busy schedule. Try out a free gift account. They'll show you all the cool features of the Send Out Card system, and you can actually send out a few cards yourself. If at that time you still like what you see, welcome to the Send Out Cards team.
If you'd like more information on this amazing system, visit www.sendoutcardsofvermont.com. That's www.sendoutcardsofvermont.com. Or call Alan at 802-733-5296 today.
This is Haunted America Radio with Al Shepard and Josh Mantello, bipolar paranormal radio. So, do we know where we're at yet or what?
All right. Let's keep talking about those animals because that's what we started on. And then we branched off into the new investigators thing. So, I just had my bipolar moment. Let's finish the new investigator thing. We'll wrap up with the animals. I'm thinking, why do I want to bounce back around? This is where we just were. Why don't we finish it?
Okay.
And
I think the two are together, really, because you might be bringing a new animal into your investigative team. So it all runs together.
Right. But...
I can screw you up so easily.
I know. You threw me for a loop. I see. I lost my complete train of thought now. Where was I? All right. But I wanted to get your point of view, because this is all relatively new to you. You kind of started off as the person with a general interest in the paranormal and doing the radio show, and now you've talked to and met and getting into, the field now. And, your name's out there with mine and everybody else's and Ron's and Mike's. And as you're going through, we've been doing this for almost 3 months now. Would you say, in your own personal experiences, would you think you were able over these three months have learned enough to start investigating?
I would not feel comfortable investigating by myself, no, because I haven't had enough. I haven't learned enough yet, and maybe I never would. I don't know. Going back to what you said, where you hold the conventions so you could personally learn, that's the reason I started this show, was so that I would have a place where I could personally learn from the best. And I could come here and guaranteed 2 hours every week of paranormal investigative training. And that's the way I see this show. I'm learning as I go. And then you were nice enough to invite me down there to the mansion. And all the way down there, I'm wondering to myself, am I going to see something? Am I going to be scared crapless and run out of there like a little girl would pee in myself the whole way, And I was rather proud of myself that I was there, and then walking around through the dark, complete darkness, totally by myself, didn't bother me a bit. I'm thinking in my head of these spirits as just being people, and the way I would talk to any other strangers that I hadn't met yet, I'm just walking around talking to them. And then we had that one female voice we heard up on the second floor, and my daughter goes running by me on the way down the stairs like a little baby, and I'm actually heading up the stairs, and I was rather proud of myself that way, and come to find out the voice came from outdoors, but the fact that I didn't run away from it was really personally satisfying to me. So, no, I'm learning all the time. I'm learning little tricks and watching you the other night, some of the things you did, and the other investigators that were there, some of the things they did, and I love it. But no, I wouldn't feel confident to go into someone else's home and do a competent investigation. But I do feel confident enough to grab a voice recorder and head to the cemetery or something and just walk around and ask questions and just see if I get anything.
Right, and to kind of go back onto what I said earlier, don't get me wrong where I was talking earlier when I was saying all these groups, they go to their cousin's house that's haunted and they run around the cemeteries in the dark looking for ghosts. That's all fine. I might not call it an investigation, but even like what you did, I guess you could say it's investigating, but it wasn't more for a purpose. Go ahead and do that stuff as long as it's legal. Make sure you're not trespassing by going to the cemetery at night or breaking into houses that are unoccupied and supposed to be haunted. But that's fine because you're going to learn. You need to, before you go to somebody's house, you can't just say, okay, it's Monday, I'm going to start an investigative group, and on Saturday have somebody say, can you investigate my house then? And then go. You've never...
Yeah, I mean, it's like, okay, if you know how to fix a leaky faucet in your house, you're not immediately going to go throw a sign up in front of your house, you're a plumber. And that's the way I look at going to cemeteries, and like what I did down there with you, is I'm not looking at that as investigating. It's more research, and it's more a paranormal personal journey to see where I stand. Do I have the guts to do this on a regular basis, or am I going to be scared or whatever, you know? So it's more overcoming personal fears and things like that for me, and you know, it's like basic training, getting myself ready. So if I ever do go with someone and out to someone else's house, I'm not doing a dude run type thing down the hallway. You know?
Dude, run!
No, you don't want that, because it makes you look bad. And then at the same time, even if it's just the simplest thing that may have startled you or made you jump, or you didn't even run, you just yelled or you got scared. These people are taking in confidence in you, that you know what you're doing and you're comfortable in doing it, and that, you know, they're thinking, oh, this guy's a ghost hunter, he's not afraid. And it may just be a run-of-the-mill, you know, intelligent hunting, you know, that Uncle Fred who isn't evil, he's not mean, he's just a cranky old spirit, he's not going to hurt anybody. But now, if you're in that house and you haven't built that comfort level yet inside yourself, or you haven't learned whether you can handle being in a room with a spirit, and you're at somebody's house and you do that, what is their impression of you going to be? Or not even that, what is their impression of the spirit going to be? Because now that they're thinking, oh, this guy is fearless, he can sit in the dark with a ghost, and you do that, now they're going to say, wow, this must be something really bad in my house if it's scaring the not scared of the dark ghost hunter.
Exactly. And I don't know. I think the one thing some of the new investigators forget is spirits were just people at one time. I mean, when the spirit was alive and come walking up behind you, yeah, you might jump, but you're not going to scream and run. So why would you do that now just because the body isn't there? It's still the personality, it's still the soul, the spirit, whatever you want to call it, just coming up to you. So yeah, you might jump, scream and run away, you know, you turn around and let's start having a conversation.
Right. And that's exactly it. I mean, we both hit the nail right on the head there. You know, you need to just make sure you're comfortable in that situation. There have been times when I've walked down a dark hallway or into a dark room. It's for me, like, now a lot of people, I get it, you know, with the Houghton Mansion, I could probably walk around the building with my eyes closed. Yeah, I know like the back of my hand. I've walked around that place in the dark so many times that I know every step, turn, corner, protruding object, that, you know, I'm comfortable with it. There's been plenty of times performing regular services in the public where these houses, this is only the first time I've been to this house, and I'm alone or just one other investigator in, you know, a basement or their attic or something, and, you know, I know when a spirit's present. Your animal instinct, you know, your hair sticks up on the back of your neck. You know, you kind of get this weird something's looking at you feeling. There's been a few times, especially when I was really just starting out, where I was beyond my comfort level and was really starting to have that I want to get out of here feeling. And you need to train yourself to say, okay, my brain, your animal instinct, you know, that part of your brain that, you know, that lays dormant, that we've been trained to ignore, is telling you something's here, and its natural instinct is for you to turn around and leave. You kind of have to outgrow that and learn to get beyond that and build your comfort level up to the point where, okay, I have that weird spooky feeling, but I'm going to stay with it, and I'm going to stick with it no matter what, because this is what I need to train to do, this is what I have trained to do, and this is what I claim to be able to do. And to your cousin's house or going to the cemetery in the middle of the night. Some people just can't go into a cemetery at night. They get scared and can't handle it. That's not the type of person I'm going to have on my paranormal investigative team.
Exactly. You know, it's like when you get that weird, spooky feeling, that's when you know you're on the right track. I mean, that's what you're there for, you know, and that's what I had to keep reminding my daughter the other night when I brought her along. You know, she was sitting there at one point, and she swears the voice recorder jumped off the bench in the temple room there and went down to the floor all by itself, and she's like, immediately jumps to the other end of the bench, you know, and screamed, and I'm like, isn't that what you're here for? You know, isn't that the whole point of being here, is for something like that to happen? So why would you want to possibly scare it away by your actions when that's what you're here for?
Oh, exactly, yeah. And, you know, and that's important. If you get scared, then you know what? Just come to the terms with the fact that this isn't what I'm cut out to do. Or, you know, maybe I'm just cut out to do this by myself whenever I'm comfortable with it. I can't join a group. I can't form a group because I'm not cut out for this. I can't handle being in the dark by myself all alone. And hey, that's life, you know. I'm not cut out to be a basketball player. I'm not even 6 feet tall. I come to terms with that, and hey, that's it.
No, you're more apt to be a jockey. My daughter said that. My daughter told me on the way home that it wasn't any big deal to her, but she doesn't think she wants to go back. Now, I know at one point my wife's going to want to go because she loves this stuff. But at the same time, I know in the back of my head that she's twice as jumpy as my daughter is. So I almost dread the fact when she wants to go along. But I can't, I don't know. That could be bad.
And, you know, you can learn. I've seen people come around. I've seen people who, when they first started investigating, were very jumpy, very, you know, apt to get up and leave a room when things start happening, or even, you know, some sort of strange bump happens. But your comfort level builds. Another kind of topic, subtopic here on what we're talking about, is learning to talk to nothing. That's a whole other, again, comfort level. When I first started investigating, and ask anybody when they first started investigating and doing EVPs, and, you know, if you feel the same way, it's the weirdest feeling for me. It was, I almost felt, I felt goofy, sitting in a room in the dark and talking and asking questions to the air. Now, was that kind of how you felt when you first started, you know, doing this and going out and taking your recorder to the cemetery? Did you feel like a weirdo, you know, walking around asking questions to nothing?
Exactly, and not so much when I was doing it, but when I had to go back and review it and sit there and listen to myself talking to nothing and finding out there actually wasn't any answers on there. You know, when you did get an answer, then it's cool. Then you feel pretty good. But when you listen to 30 minutes of tape where you're talking to yourself and nobody's answering you, then you kind of feel like a dumbass, yeah. But I did learn something the other night, because when we went, my daughter had a voice recorder and I had one, and we just kind of ran around both recording at the same time. But I think the next go-around, I'm going to do more of a tag team type thing. You know, record on one recorder, and then turn the second one on and review the first one, and let the second one record while I'm listening to the first one to see if I caught anything. And keep switching back and forth like that, so there's always a recorder on, but I'm also always reviewing, so if I do get a conversation going, within the next 5 minutes I can pick up on the conversation and not have to wait till I get all the way home and realize, hey, I had a heck of a conversation going on, but I didn't even know it.
And that is a pretty common maybe not in the way you're describing it, stopping one and picking right up with another one. But you know, we do it a lot. I didn't do it last night because we were short on investigators, so we were busy just going from spot to spot in the house and doing session after session. But generally, yeah, you know, when I investigate, we take breaks. You know, regather just like we did. 20 minutes ago there, over the air, we took a minute to stop and regather. We would do the same thing on an investigation. You know, we stopped, this investigation, we started at 9:30, and I remember it was about 10:45. We stopped, we actually turned the lights back on and sat down and said, okay, well, it's still early yet, but what was your impression? What do you guys think? And, trade off and then, grab your recorder, take a listen to it, it may not, you still got to go back and listen to it afterwards because it is, you're only listening to it, just with a little mic or a speaker over the device itself, and you might miss something, but I can think of many times just doing that, coming back and listening to it mid-investigation and saying, hey, we got something here. It's kind of hard to tell because, we're not really listening to it with, headphones or, put it in through the computer, but there's something there, and it almost sounds like this. Now you almost say, well, something's happening in there. We're going to go back now. Let's go back in that room. Or, all right, let's go wrap up the other rooms that we need to investigate, and then definitely before we leave, go hit that one again. Last night we did, this wasn't with EVP, but we in a smaller house, we only ran one video recorder. Sometimes we'll run it up to as many as four or five. And the video recorder was on the second floor, and in this particular haunting, the clients would hear footsteps walking around up on the third floor, the third floor of the house. No, on the second floor of the house. And people would see things. So we put a recorder in there and think, well, maybe we'll either capture the footprints or see the shadow or the apparition that is set to be seen up there on the video recorder. And during our break, we were sitting and conversing, and sure enough, the client all of a sudden goes, did you just hear those? And she goes, they're walking around up there. We were all downstairs, and she was hearing the footsteps up on the second floor. So I said, well, we got the camera, went upstairs, grabbed it. This was just a handy cam, recording into its own tape. It wasn't coming back down to a base cam. So I run up, grab the quarter, bring it back down, and play it back right there. There's nothing that says you have to keep it there, for the entire time you're investigating. Grabbed it, played it back. Sure enough, I wasn't getting footsteps, but we could hear things moving around up on the second floor of this house over the recorder right around the same time that she was saying she was hearing the footsteps. And we said, okay, it's there. Made a little note on my computer saying, watch, pay close attention to camera at this exact moment. Cued it back up to where we left it off, stuck it right back where it was again, and kept going. Now I still have another hour and a half of footage to watch. I got into about 15 minutes of it today before I got called away with other stuff. So, and that's another thing kind of bringing up is don't just think investigating is walking around in the middle of the night with flashlights and your recorders talking to the air and saying, okay, we investigated your house and we had a couple of experiences. Have a nice night. And you never see them again. And there's a formula to it. I'll have to look the formula back up. I think Chris Belzano had it. It's in his Picture Yourself Ghost Hunting. For every hour you do, you multiply it by 2 times how many pieces of equipment you run, and that's how many of hours you have to put in after the investigation. So simply, you investigate for an hour, and you run 4 cameras for that hour. That's 4 hours worth of cameras that you have to watch after the investigating. and you did 4 hours of audio taping. So now you have 8 hours worth of evidence, or 8 hours of reliving that investigation over again through your audio and your video. Now, you know, a lot of people that they who are getting into this, they're watching the TV show, and it's an hour show, and they see them, you know, for out of the hour of the show, 45 minutes of it is walking around in the dark and having fun, and only 15 minutes of it is sitting down, walking through the building, and looking at the, you know, tapes and audio. It's not how that plays out. The investigation part is only a quarter of the work. Half the work is the evidence analysis, and the other quarter is your preparation beforehand. I always try to put in just as much preparation before an investigation as I would during the investigation. Sitting down at your computer and looking, seeing what the moon phase is, when the sun rises, when the sun sets, when does the moon rise, when did the moon set, is there solar flares, is there solar activity, is there's tons of things. I start preparing a report, rereading all the emails I've exchanged with the client to make sure I have the story right. So when I walk in, I'm not just like, "Hi, I'm Josh." So what, you know, I don't seem completely lost about what happened. I'm up to date with their story. If it's a well-known building, I'm Google searching and doing Google News searches for the community for any old news stories about any deaths that might have happened there, murders, accidents, any historical moments that ever might have happened at that time. You know, this is all stuff that you got to do just as much work ahead of time and after the actual investigation, the actual fun part of walking around in the dark and talking to the air is probably the smallest part of the investigation.
Yeah, most people that watch Ghost Hunters probably don't pay attention to when it pops up on the screen at the bottom there and tells you the day and time, you know. Okay, investigation, Saturday evening. Then they have analysis, Sunday. And then you see the reveal is all the way on the following Friday or something. So they're not showing you the evidence analysis from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, where it actually, all you saw is a little bit of stuff clipped together. They're not telling you this is like 4 or 5 days of evidence analysis all crammed into 10 minutes, you know. So
yeah, and that's it exactly. And I can tell you firsthand from the TV show aspects that it is nothing like it seems. I've been on one of those shoots. I've been with them at every moment. And the with Ghost Adventures, people, you watch Ghost Adventures, it looks like they drive into town in the morning, they walk around and interview everybody all day long, and then they get locked down and leave the next morning. In reality, they came in on a Monday and left on a set. They were there for an entire week.
Exactly, and they don't get that point across, so everyone thinks, "Oh, I have a free day off during the week. I'm going to be a ghost investigator," and it doesn't quite work like that. I just want to take a minute, let everybody listening and to know if they want to give a call in, 646-716-5896. You can call in, listen to the show if you want to talk. Make sure you raise up your little hand there in the screen so I know. I've had a few people come in and out listening, but nobody's raised their hand up, so I'm assuming they didn't want to talk. And just jumping back to what I said on the tag team voice recorders, I can't remember where. It was an investigator or a psychic or somebody I was talking with or listening to said, sometimes the spirits don't want to be found. So while you're recording, they shut up. But the minute you say, "I'm turning the recorder off," and you pick it up and you walk away, she says all of a sudden they'll start chatting back and forth with each other like crazy. Psychics can hear it, and that's why they know that happens. And that's where the second recorder comes into play. You put down the second one and don't really say anything. Just turn it on, set it down, you know, announce you're turning the recorder off, turn the first one off, walk away to review it, and you might actually catch a bunch of neat stuff on the second one when they think nobody's listening.
Yeah, you know, that's very true. In past investigations, we did this last night, and we did this at another past investigation. They might not want to talk, and sometimes the only sign they're going to give you is the sign telling you they don't want to talk. And last night, it happened when, you know, nothing was happening. We were using K2s. The EMF in this house was very low. We were getting no K2 spikes or tri-field spikes or anything like that anywhere in the house. And they, I wasn't part of this part of the investigation, but the investigators in my group said, well, do you want us to leave then? And sure enough, the K2s spiked up. And I said, all right, was that your sign? Can you do that one more time? If you make those spikes one more time, we will leave. And sure enough, they spike. And this kind of becomes a dilemma for some people. Do you honor what you said you would do? You know, do you come out and say, all right, I said I was going to leave, now I'm going to leave? Or do you try to upset the ghost and kind of provoke it into making more activity and stay and kind of go against what you said?
Personally, I would never ask that question. Maybe it's the salesman in me, but I don't like giving anyone an opportunity to say no on purpose. And when you ask a question like that, you're just begging to be shut down. You know, make another bargain with it, but not the fact that you're just going to up and leave and totally ruin your chances of what you're there to gain. You know, think of some other thing or something. You know, like, okay, if you make that sign again, I'll leave the room for the next 30 minutes and give you a chance to finish whatever it is you're doing. Maybe you're pooping in the spirit world and you need a few minutes to do whatever you're doing. So, you know, I'll go downstairs for 30 minutes or something. You know, make some other bargain, or, you know, if you can, you know, plainly talk to me on this voice recorder and give me your name, so I know you're definitely here and who I'm speaking to, I'll go in another part of the house for a while. Or if you can materialize, you know, make something, but don't put yourself out of business. And that seems to be the most asked question I see on shows, and I think it's coming from people who are scared to be there in the first place, and they're looking for an excuse to get the hell out of there. So they're hoping the ghost is going to give them one. Well, I had to leave because I made a bargain and the ghost told me, so now I'm leaving. See you later.
Right.
And that's just a dumb question to ask in the first place, if you ask me.
I could see that point. But at the same time, we did receive spikes that weren't normally going to be there. So did we get some sort of evidence out of it? Yeah. And then I think the real question is do you stay or do you go? I've never done that. I don't personally do the do you want me to leave or stay question. I'm more like you, where I'm going to stay. The less you do, the more irritating I'm going to be to the ghost, to make you make me leave. And that's pretty much what I say to them. If you ever go through any of my recordings, a lot of times you hear me say, look, if you want me to go, you need to do something to make me want to leave. Make me not want to be here. Give me what I'm here for, and then I will leave you alone. Another one.
Exactly. You know, I'm here to do a job. My job that I've been hired to do is to document your existence. So the quicker you give me the proof I need to do my job, then the quicker I can pack up and leave. You know, if you want to drag this out all night long with little knocks and this and that and everything else, then I'm going to be bugging you till the sun comes up, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can't argue with you on that. And I do that with the Houghtons because that's the type of ghosts they are. And this is what's going to be tough, I really suppose. And we have a few minutes here still. Anybody who wants to chime in and give their 2 cents on this, feel free to call in. I'd love to hear other opinions besides just mine and Al's. Every ghost, especially if we're talking about if we're talking about intelligent haunts of just regular people who have passed on and are no longer amongst the living, each one can have its own personality. And just like you, me, or the person down the street, different things push our buttons. Certain things are going to make us more angry to make us do different things. So I think what I do to push Mr. Houghton's buttons aren't going to be the same as the buttons I have to push to get the ghost I was investigating last night. Different, but you really can't tell. So a lot of times you find yourself doing the same tactics, especially with me. I find myself doing a lot of the same tactics that I use to get Mr. Houghton going at another house, and it might not work. It's a different spirit. It's a different personality.
Yeah, and that's another reason for doing your homework ahead of time, is just to find out the maybe the personality of the spirit that's haunting and what type of personality they are. So then when you get there, you know how to approach them. You're not going to approach a crotchety old man the same way you would a little girl or something like that.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that completely. But sometimes that homework isn't there. This is great that I did a case. I love doing a show right after I had a case because it's fresh in my mind and I got stories to tell. This house, I couldn't find crap on it. It's just a little old house and on a dirt road in middle of nowhere, New York. The only thing we could really figure out is one stuff that the clients were able to supply to us, but they didn't really get a whole lot. They had a clairvoyant go in the house, tell them a few stories that they weren't too even sure on themselves. But the only thing we were able to gather from them is that this house lays on right across next to some train tracks, and there's a road. The only thing they were even maybe remotely able to gather was that the house was at some point on the home of the signal man. When a train came, he would have to go out and stop traffic. Other than that, we don't know if this guy got hit by a train. Did he, the homework just wasn't there. So last night we were going in completely blind to the fact of what type of spirit we were dealing with.
Yeah, I mean, and that's tough. So you just got to kind of start from scratch and hope you get some evidence that sheds a little more light on things. But so in that case, I don't think I would walk in there with an antagonistic attitude right from the get-go until I figured out, what the heck you're dealing with,
Right. The theories are out there, and theories and opinions are like you-know-what, and everybody has one. And it's tough to say. There are investigators whose sole purpose in life is to go into the investigation with a very hardcore, antagonistic attitude towards the spirits, and try and get them riled up and piss them off so that they will just make themselves appear that way. I don't wholeheartedly agree with that theory or aspect of how to ghost hunt, but I can tell you from experience and from my own ways, I go in nicely. I go in, my first couple EVP sessions, I always introduce myself. Hi, my name is Josh. I'm here to talk to you and get your story, blah, blah, blah. I finished my first, I finished the sessions with thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it if you talk to us. Hopefully we can talk some more later. And that's it. But if it's getting close to 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, and absolutely nothing has happened, I'm changing my approach. I go, this obviously isn't working if I'm talking to them kindly and not getting anything. So now I need to try something different. Maybe the antagonistic part is going to work. So now I'm going to go in there and say, look, I don't think you're actually here. You know, these people say you're a ghost. Well, I think you're a coward. I think you're too cowardly, you know, to make yourself known to me. You know, you're just, you know, an evil spirit picking on people. You know, it's not strong enough to actually make yourself known to me. You're only picking on the poor people who are defenseless inside this house. Get them going that way.
Yeah, I don't know. I heard some people say, you know, if you were alive, you know, and someone come up to you and started talking to you like that, are you going to talk back? You know, then you'd really ignore them and just go away. So I don't know. If you come up against the right type of personality, I'm sure that would work. Someone who was quick-tempered in life. You know, and if you happen to hit the right button, yeah, that's going to work. But, you know, some of them that were ignoring you when you were nice are really going to ignore you when you start to be a jerk. So, you know,
you don't know. How are you, exactly, how are you going to know? Because, well, you know, it's not like there's a sign on the front door that says, these ghosts work best with kindness, and these ghosts work best with meanness. You know, it's like, I don't know, I've learned from experience, and only from experience, you know, that John Witters at the Houghton House will come out best after you antagonize him for a little while about having affairs and stuff like that. But
yeah, and stuff like, hey John, what are you doing, just hanging around?
You know, but, you know, sometimes that doesn't work, you know. We'll never know. It's all a big guessing game until I'm dead, I suppose.
Well, the thing is, you've got so many different personalities in life, and therefore you've got so many different types of spirits in death, that what works in one place isn't going to work in another, and that's just something you have to accept. And like you said, you go through your arsenal of tools, and hopefully something that you try will work, you know.
Absolutely, yeah, and that's what you got to do. The way the ball bounces in the paranormal world.
All right, we got about 11 minutes left here. Do you want to recap what you're working on for events, or do you want to hold off till you get a signed contract before you say much more, or how do you want to do it?
No, I'm always about promoting here. Look,
I don't want you to promote something that won't materialize, but as long as you're 99% sure.
Yeah, it's going to happen. It's just I got to get in there with the, get in with them and get the paperwork signed. That's about it.
Are you going to give me some info to put up on HoughtonMansion.com and stuff? Or?
Yep, absolutely. As it's happening, it'll all get up. I just have to wait until I hear from them more, because they are somewhat of a prestigious resort that all ads and banners for the web have to be approved by them to make sure they're not being portrayed in a negative manner. So
yep, definitely. I would expect that from a 5-star resort with valet parking and room service and golf course down the street and all that stuff.
But anybody who's out there who wants to go out and investigate a haunted, one of America's most haunted inns, hotels, resorts, November 6th and 7th, Manchester, Vermont, the Equinox Resort and Hotel, you're going to be able to spend the weekend with me, Al, Ron Kolick, Michael Baker, Joe Citro, many more, and investigate ghosts with us and spend the weekend with Abraham Lincoln and his family. Where else could you do that? Beautiful weekend. You're going to learn a lot. Tons of speakers on every facet of ghost hunting. You're going to learn everything you need to know and be able to hunt the ghost. Saturday night, if you want to do just a Friday night only, It'll be $60. That'll get you two lectures and 4 hours of investigating. If you want to go and just attend Saturday, $100, you're going to get multiple speakers, a dinner at a 5-star resort, and 4 hours of investigating with the Lincolns and all of us. Or do the whole weekend at it for $125. Email me at jmantelloevents.com, and we'll get everything to you as it happens. And as soon as tickets go on sale, I will let you know. And also keep an eye on the resort page, because they will offer packages to where you can get a room, stay, not only can you investigate, but that stay there for the entire night in your own room after you're done investigating.
Do you have a website for them? Do you know what it is right off the top of your head?
What's that? Their webpage?
Yeah.
I think it's just EquinoxResorts.com, EquinoxResorts.com.
Okay. I was thinking one other thing that might be interesting is somehow tie in a tour through Hildene or something in with that. Might be another extra option or something.
Yeah, and
right down the street.
Again, you know, everything's right there. Beautiful shopping there. Tons of outlets up there to do when you're, you know, to go to in the morning when you're not investigating, and Sunday afterwards if you get a room for Saturday night. I can't say much about, you know, any more good things about it. It's going to be a blast. Everybody's going to have tons of fun. And just like we've been talking tonight, you want to be a new investigator. You want to learn how to ghost hunt. Well, here's your chance. You're going to learn from the best. You know, you're going to learn from people who've been doing this for years. Mike Baker is probably one of the most respected scientific guys in the ghost hunting community out there right now. He's developing gadgets and equipment that are years ahead of where we were. So, him alone, you're going to learn tons off of.
Oh yeah, just that time I had him on the show here. So. When he was talking about some of the things he's playing with in the lab as far as EVPs and things like that, it's just really, really cool to listen to what he's playing with. So I can't wait. This is going to be neat. And then your little event at the Houghton Mansion for Halloween, that sounds like going to be pretty cool too. So looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, that's still in the very early planning stages, but we'll see how that goes as I can get in touch with Ron and get the schedules going. It wouldn't be the first time we did something on Halloween there. We usually have pretty good luck.
Well, if nothing else, I would say us here at Haunted America Radio ought to do something from that location on Halloween night, whether it just be a live broadcast or maybe even a webcast or something. We can get the halfway decent internet signal in there. Do something, you know.
Another thing I we probably should bring up, I'd love to bring up now, is any of you listening, or if you're streaming this over the internet, over during the week, or if you're listening live, tell your friends, let them know we're here, especially if you like us, tell them how great we are, how funny we are, and how great it is to listen to the Bipolar Paranormal Radio. And
that's going to be our new tagline.
Bipolar Paranormal Radio.
I'm going to have to make a new t-shirt now.
but secondly, if you have show ideas, any of you listening out there have a topic you want to hear, I got some topics in the back of my mind. I'm just waiting to hear back so that people can do them. But if you have a topic in mind that you want to hear us discuss, if you want to hear us discuss EVP, or you want to hear a more specific way of EVP, if you want us to talk about EMF, or you want us to talk about UFOs, or Bigfoots, or vampires, or werewolves, the paranormal world is a big world. My thing is ghosts, but we can, if you know of somebody who would like to be on the show, who is well-known in their topic, feel free to email me, or Al, josh@berkshireparanormal.com. I think we have hauntedamericaradio.com emails, josh@hauntedamericaradio.com.
Yep.
And email us at those, and we'll work on that for you. Who knows? We could get it on that next week for you.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about dogs that themselves into orbs and materialize and stuff like that.
Well, it's freaking hilarious. I can do that one. Is it professional? No.
You're right. I'm sorry.
I missed that. I didn't know what that was.
You didn't know what that was? It's from your favorite show, man. You don't you didn't recognize that? That listen.
It's freaking hilarious. I can do that one. Is it professional? No.
You're right. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
That was with Dave Tango's first show on Ghost Hunters, where Steve made him run around with a tiara on all night.
I haven't watched a whole lot of that either lately.
I've been so busy, I haven't watched any of them. So I did watch Most Haunted the other night, and it seems like they've got almost a whole new crew. I didn't see Derek flopping like a fish on the floor, Akora, or any of those, and they had some new guy and or woman and something else in there. So I don't know, but they almost seemed a little more professional, if I dare say it.
Well, I would imagine they would at least try to be, because they have been getting bashed over here in the States for a couple of years now on the way that was ran. So
I know. Next thing you know, they'll be running toothpaste commercials in Britain. Jeez.
You're mean.
I can't. I'm sorry. I apologize to any of our British listeners.
We do have a British listener.
If I didn't like you, I wouldn't pick on you. That's what I tell everybody. See, my wife just said that's what I tell her. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't pick on you. I wouldn't waste my time picking on you. So.
We don't have a whole lot of listeners, but I do know we have one UK listener. His screen name is in there is UFO UK. So I got to apologize to him.
Yeah. I hope. Well, if they listen to this show with any regularity, then they got to have a sense of humor. Because they can't take us too serious. Can't take us too serious, I mean. God.
Oh, that's just part of our bipolarness, anyway.
I'm going to make a new shirt. Before the convention, I will have a new shirt.
And it does, and it even kind of rhymes with itself. Bipolar Paranormal Radio, it works.
Yeah, it does. And maybe we can get a sponsor, lithium or something.
For all the free stand-up you need.
We can get Evanescence to sing the theme song.
We're traveling down roads that aren't going nowhere.
I know, it's a good thing we're at the end of the show. We've got about a minute left at most or so. Here, I'll give my shameless plug. Anyone that wants to have as much fun as I do and work from home, go to www.sendoutcardsofvermont.com. Listed in this month's Inc. 500 magazine as one of the fastest growing companies in America. Privately owned, home-based business. If you're sick of Avon, if you're sick of Tupperware, get a hold of me. I'll set you up in a home-based business where you can actually have fun with it. All right. We got about 30 seconds.
30
words
seconds
of wisdom.
Well, worth of wisdom. Hunt well and be safe. That sounded good.
Exactly. And watch out for materializing dogs. Don't stand right behind the door, because that might be where they're trying to beam in. So
we'll see
everyone.
Watch out for the materializing dog droppings. They're even worse.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about those. Materializing landmines. We'll see everyone back here next Sunday, 7 p.m. And bring lithium.